Gospels and turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 17 of Acts chapter 5. Starting verse 17, it says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And, behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with the right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him, when they heard that they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them." Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we want to thank you for this opportunity. Father, I pray that we're ready to hear from you. I pray, Father, that you would put the very words in my mouth that I need to preach this morning. And I pray for boldness. I pray for clarity of speech, Father. And I pray, Father, that your word would go out and it would touch our hearts, that our lives would be changed for the better, that you would be lifted up and glorified in all that's said and done here. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish this morning, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. These three messages are coming out of our text. Go deals with the consistency of our witness, which we dealt with last week. This week, stand, which deals with the courage of our witness. And the last one is speak, which deals with the communication of our witness. So there's something we are privileged to be able to do. Something that God gave us that he privileged us to be able to do it. And not only is that, but it's actually a command to do it, which even the angels cannot do. Kind of interesting, right? When you look at verse 19 of our text, it says, But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, so the angels had power to break them out of prison, right? They could go get them out of prison. So why did they not go to the temple and also do their own speaking? Why did they not do that? The answer is because a witness has to have first-hand knowledge or experience to be able to do something. They've had to have experienced it. Angels don't experience salvation. How can they go out and tell people about being saved when they don't experience it? They can't. They cannot enjoy the thrill, the joy, or the power of being saved. The angels can sing, "Holy, holy, holy," but they cannot sing, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe," because angels are not saved. They cannot be saved. They can do "all hail the power," but not "since Jesus came into my heart." They can sing "how excellent is thy name," but they cannot sing "amazing grace, how sweet it is." That is why the angel delivered the message from God to them, "I have set you free, but you now go, you stand, and you speak." Last time we talked about going, the consistency of our witness. Now our stand, the courage of our witness. We are called to take a stand. We need to voluntarily take a stand. I mentioned during the Sunday school, we need to take a stand. There's things going on in our nation that we need to take a stand against. Because if you were here for the Sunday school hour, you would know that God judges an entire nation based on the sins of as little as one in that nation. It can be many in the nation, but it can be as little as one. We are held accountable for what the nation does as a whole. We need to be careful, because this nation that we live in is not following the Word of God. So we're called to take a stand, and we need to voluntarily take that stand. It takes courage to take a stand, though, right? It's hard to take a stand when you're in a group of people that don't believe what you believe. You'll be out there standing all alone, right? That's not totally true. If you're standing on God's side, if you're standing with God, you have God that's with you. So you're not standing alone. It just seems like it sometimes, right? It seems like you're out there all alone. But if we need to take that stand, and none of that mattered to the apostles here, they didn't care. They witnessed even in the face of death. I can tell you, other than the one time I was chased off with the shotgun, I have never, ever felt that somebody, it's true, it happened, I've never actually had anybody threaten to kill me when I'm witnessing to them. But here, if they share the Word of God, they were told they would be put to death. And even with that fear, they still went and did it. We have missionaries that we support. I'm not going to name them because this will be on our website. But we have missionaries we support that if they find out where they are and what they are doing, they will be put to death. They still proclaim the gospel because they have a desire to see those people of those nations saved. They do it even under threat of death. We don't do it when we don't even have to worry about threat of death. Sad commentary on Christianity today, isn't it? The angel told them to go and witness to some men who had more than just the power to belittle them, but the power to actually kill them, to put them to death, to beat them even. They could do all of those things to him. By the way, they were beaten later in the chapter. Interesting that they still felt the need to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 33, it says, "When they had heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them." So think about that. Think about the fact that they were even going to go kill them because they took a stand for what was right. They took a stand on the side of God. And none of that stuff mattered to them, even when they faced death. They still witnessed. Fear is the number one reason why people do not share Jesus Christ with others. Fear. The Bible tells us God didn't give us the spirit of fear. Fear comes from Satan. God didn't give us that spirit of fear, so why do we fear? Why do we fear? We have fear of rejection, fear of embarrassment, fear of offending someone, fear of being labeled a fanatic, fear of disappointment, fear of being asked a hard question, or fear of being made fun of. We have all these different fears that prevent us from sharing the gospel with people. The gospel that people could get saved from. The Bible tells us it's the foolishness of preaching that men get saved. If we share the gospel, people will get saved. Will everybody? No. I didn't tell you that already. Not everybody will. The Bible's very clear that not everybody will. But we don't know who will and who won't. So it's up to us to share the message. There's a boy that went off to logging camp for the summer, and he was so concerned that people would make fun of him because he's a Christian. So he went to his pastor and he said, "Pastor, please pray for me that they won't make fun of me, that they won't ridicule me, that they won't harass me for my faith." Pastor said, "I'll pray for you." So the boy goes off to summer camp, this logging camp, and he goes and he comes back and the pastor said, "How'd it go?" He said, "Everything went wonderful. They never found out." Imagine that. They never found out he was a Christian. See, he was too afraid to even tell them that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was too afraid, so he kept it to himself. I call those people the undercover Christians. They don't want anybody to know that they've accepted Christ as Savior. But I'm going to tell you right now, God has no secret service. God's Word tells us that we are commanded to go and share the gospel with everyone. We don't get to choose, right? God puts people in our life to share the gospel with, so we don't get to do that. And He wants us to go out with the message, and He wants us to be proud of Him, not ashamed of Him. He wants us to be proud of Him and go out and tell everybody about Him. In fact, if you turn to Matthew chapter 10, keep your place in Acts because we'll come back there again. But Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 32, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." See, God takes this pretty seriously. He wants us to share the gospel message. In fact, over in Romans chapter 10, it says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." We're not to be ashamed. Have people sometimes, they'll come and they'll get saved, but they don't want to get baptized. Baptism is the public expression of what's taken place already. But they don't want to get baptized because they're ashamed of what people will think. I got news for you. If you're in a church, people are going to love the fact that you went forward with what God's commanded us to do. People are not going to be, look at them. They're not going to do that. They're going to be excited for you. People come and they get saved. People are excited about that. People go, "Well, I can't walk an aisle because people might think bad about me." No, they won't. They'll be excited for you. It's amazing. Church service, someplace where people can be who they are and still be accepted. In 1 John 4:15, it says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." Take a moment, turn to John chapter 12 and verse 42, please. John 12:42, it says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." See, they were afraid. They were afraid about what man might do to them. We don't have to worry about man, what man might do to us. As a child of God, the worst thing that man could do to me is kill this body. That's the worst thing they could do to me. But I have eternal life. I'm going to live forever. Not in this body. One day I'll have a glorified body. I'm looking forward to the glorified body that doesn't hurt, doesn't have aches and pains, doesn't have hearing issues, doesn't have seeing issues. I'm going to have a glorified body. That glorified body isn't going to walk into a room and say, "I wonder why I came in here. I know there was a reason I walked in here, but now I don't remember it." That glorified body is going to remember those things. It's not going to be this corrupt body. And thank God for that. Secret believers like Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, it's kind of a different story, right? Secret believers. There is a difference between the underground church, which is a necessity, right? As I mentioned, we have some missionaries in countries where they can't openly worship, so they have underground churches. They have to do that in order to be able to get the gospel out. Because as soon as the authorities find out where they are, they go in and kill them all. There's no witness left then, right? So they have to operate that way. We are in a free country, sort of. Supposed to be a free nation, right? Where we can go and we can share what we know about Jesus Christ with others. Some people won't want to hear it. That's fine. Our part is to go and give them the information. If they reject it, the Bible's very clear. In fact, he says, wipe the dust off your sandals and move on to the next, right? Don't waste time with people who do not want to hear. But pray for them, because somebody else will be coming that maybe will be able to get through to them. But don't stand there and browbeat them to death, because it doesn't work. And it's not scriptural. Give them the gospel. If they don't want to hear, that's their choice. We can't force it on them. Neither does God want us to force it on them. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35, please. Hebrews 11:35, "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." We have something, the blessed hope, it's what it's called, that we are going to, one day, if this body's put in death, we are going to have a resurrected body. That glorious body, if we know Christ as Savior. John 12:43 says, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." That's the problem. We're more concerned about what man thinks. We're more concerned about friendships with the world than we are with being a friend of God's, being a child of God's, being obedient to the Word of God. Does it matter what man thinks? Text that says it's better to obey God than man. We need to obey God. Who do you want to be happy with you? I think God would be the one that I would want to be happy with me rather than men. Men can turn on you like that. God says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." I think I'd rather have God happy with me. verse 29 of our text, it says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" When it comes to witnessing, we are to be bold, we're to be courageous, not obnoxious or arrogant or holier than thou. We're just supposed to be bold and courageous. Take our stand. Do what God's told us to do. Make God happy. Love God more than we love self. That's hard for us. That's hard as a human being. Because our human nature wants to love us above all else. Right? We have the me first movement, right? Seems the way it is. It's human nature. There's three things about our courage. The first one, we need courage born of compulsion. Instinctive, an impulse, an urge we cannot help. In Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, says, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, 'Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" Peter says, we can't help it. We can't help ourselves. We are so excited with what we've seen and what we've heard that we have to go tell others about it. Wouldn't that be nice if we were so excited that we could not stop instead of not being able to start? We just can't stop ourselves. It's something that we have to do. I have to tell you, if you've ever seen a dog out burying a bone, you don't go over and say, "Excuse me, Fido, why are you doing that?" Right? And you certainly don't stop them. Would not be a pretty sight, right? You certainly don't do that. When we're out telling people about Jesus Christ, people shouldn't be out, "Well, why are you even doing that?" I've had people ask me that. "Why are you doing this?" Because I have a love for people. I want to see people go to heaven and not to hell. It's certainly not for my health, especially when you're out there in the cold and rain and everything else that goes on in the world. It's not for my health. It's because I have a desire to see people saved. And we should all have a desire to see people come to Jesus Christ. We have the blessed hope. Let's not bottle it and put it on a shelf. Let's share it so others too can have the same that we have. I like the story of the atheist running from the bear. Sure, some of you have heard this one. But God asked, the atheist asked God to make the bear a Christian. So the bear comes and he slaps the guy to the ground. He looks up at God and says, I asked you to make him a Christian. And God said, I did. And the bear folds his hands, says, "Thank you, God, for the gifts which I am about to receive." God did exactly what he asked him. But we should witness from instinct, not compulsion. When people are led to the Lord, it's a wonderful thing to see them wanting to go and tell others about Jesus Christ. It's exciting to see. They got to go out and tell somebody what just happened to them. They're excited. They want to do that. Now, they're not super Christians, right? They just got saved. They haven't been to some school to teach them how to witness, right? They just got saved. So what do they have to tell? What happened to them? Because they're an eyewitness to what happened in their life. And that's all we have to do is just go out and share the good news, be an eyewitness of what happened in our life. People think, no, I got to go to some soul-winning class, or I got to have some instruction on this or that. No, all you have to do is tell people what happened in your life. tell them where you were and tell them where you now are. And that it was all God who brought you there. If you have no desire to witness whatsoever, one of two things is taking place. The first one is you're not saved. You don't have anything to share, right? Because nothing's happened. The other one is you're so backslidden that you are not telling anybody. And if that's the case, you ought to be really, really concerned about one day when you stand before Christ. Is it possible for a Christian to suppress their instincts in this area to the point that they become comfortable with being a secret Christian? Yeah, it is. It's possible. The undercover Christian society, right? It should not exist. We should all be excited. I tell you, if you want to know about what people went through, read This Day in Baptist History. Fox's Book of Martyrs. There's a book that's really hard to read. It took me a long time to get through it because it was really hard to read all the things that happened to them that we don't even concern ourselves with today because we just freely can go around and talk to whoever we want. It's amazing. We forget how good we have it. Two, we need courage born of consecration. Acts 5:27-29. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. This word ought comes from the word owe. We have to witness. We owe it to the Lord. People go, I don't owe him anything. You owe him your life. If you are a born-again child of God, you owe him your life. He paid it all for us. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Why do you call me Lord and not do the things I say? And the last thing he told us to do was be a witness. Take our stand. Take our stand. We need to do it. We should be so consecrated that our witness is intentional. Intentional. Some would say they don't witness because they don't know how. That's an excuse. It's an excuse, and it will not stand up. If God has genuinely saved you, if you are a born-again child of God, that is not an excuse. You know what happened to you. It's not secret. You know exactly what took place. And you need to be willing to share that. God's going to hold us accountable. Remember the one who was on his deathbed and he got saved. They were talking to him right before he died. And he said, must I go and empty-handed? He hadn't led one person to the Lord. Must I go and empty-handed? That was his concern. He just got saved. He hasn't had time to tell anyone. He's on his deathbed. And his concern was still, must I go and empty-handed? My prayer is that we won't have that same situation. The how-to I'll cover in the last message, speak. And nothing would please me more than to work with people and show them how to go out and speak to others. And immediate, while the high priest is saying not to witness, Peter's doing it. You can't do that. And immediately he does. He just throws it out there, opens his mouth and blurts it out. He can't control himself. Procrastination is a form of disobedience. Who are we putting off that God has laid on our heart to witness to? And then three, we need courage born of compassion. Compassion. We'll never really witness to people until we put them before us. If we put us first, we're not going to witness to them. We need to put them first, and then we will share with them. At the point where them going to hell is worse than us being embarrassed or talked about or whatever else, we're not going to share. And it's okay for us to not be comfortable. Life is not all about comfort, is it? You don't have to be comfortable. But if we love people, that will overcome our discomfort. And then we won't be afraid to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. In 1 John 4:18, you'll turn there. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The story of a doctor who's driving down a country road, and these boys came and flagged him down, teenagers. Said one of their friends had fallen into the lake. They got him out, but they can't get him to breathe. They told the doctor they were afraid that this little boy was dying. The doctor ran and he saw the boy lying down, face down, and he felt for a pulse. And he looked at the rest of the boys there and he said, "I'm sorry, he's already dead." And then the doctor flipped the boy over, and in the moonlight, he saw that it was his son. He immediately started working on him, performing CPR, doing everything he could to get this boy to come to life. What made the difference? Compassion. Compassion. About the time we start loving the lost around us as if they were our own children. See, it's amazing how far we will go if it's somebody we personally care about. Somebody that's very close to us. It's amazing what lengths we'll go to. We'll set aside all fears, we'll set aside all discomfort and everything to make sure if they mean enough to us. In Jude, we'll finish with this, Jude chapter 1, obviously, right? That'll get some people going. Jude has one chapter, verses 22 and 23. Jude 22 and 23, excuse me, "And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." There's a Baptist missionary in Romania, Joseph Song. Years ago, when communism was strong, the state asked him to sign a license to preach. Joseph said, "I cannot do that. I answer to God. The state is not sovereign." They said, "If you don't sign it, we will kill you." He said, "Your greatest weapon is killing me? My greatest weapon is dying. For all who know what I have preached will know it was worth dying for, and as a result, even more people are going to get saved. Your greatest weapon is to kill me. My greatest weapon is dying. I must warn you that if you use your weapon, I will be forced to use mine." They went and told their leaders, "Leave that guy alone. He is crazy." I've been told I'm crazy. I don't mind that. Because he took a stand, the gospel is now powerful in that part of Romania. Because he took a stand. We're not asked to die. We're just asked to go, to stand, and to speak. That's what God asks of us. Go, stand, and speak. Seems pretty simple, right? And how hard is it to tell what you have firsthand knowledge of? Ever been called to testify in a court case? What do you tell them? The knowledge that you have firsthand, right? I can't go into a courtroom, sit in the witness stand, and say, "Well, so-and-so's brother, sister's son-in-law, whatever, said through the chain of people down to me that this is what happened." They're going to say, "Dismissed." They want to know what you know firsthand. What did you eyewitness? What did you see and what did you hear personally? Not what somebody else, but what you know. Because it doesn't matter what so-and-so said and you overheard and brought, and that doesn't matter. You have to be an eyewitness. You know firsthand what happened in your life. All you have to do is tell others. Pretty simple. You don't have to know a lot of scripture, right? Anybody here, when they got saved, know every one of the scriptures in this? Does anyone, after they've been saved many years, know all the scriptures in here? But we know where to find the answers, right? And we know they're in there. But we can tell them what we do know. One of the biggest things is, if somebody asks you a question that you don't know the answer to, just tell them, "I'll research it and get back to you." They'd rather hear that than you tell them a lie. And they find out later you weren't honest with them. Then they're going to wonder, were you honest about the salvation part too? Or was that a lie? So just be honest with them. Tell them what you know. And if you don't know, let them know you don't know. But look it up for them. And get back to them. And let them know. So this morning, I have an invitation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the boldness of those who have gone on before us. The boldness of them to proclaim the gospel with others. Father, there's no such thing as an undercover Christian. They either are or they aren't. There's some trying to be an undercover Christian. Some like Nicodemus, who went at night under the cloak of darkness so nobody would see him. But Father, once you get saved, you are excited about what you have. And you want to tell others. And it seems as time goes on, we start doing it less and less and less. Father, this morning I pray that we get excited, that we get on fire for sharing the gospel with others. Father, this morning, if there's someone in our midst that has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray, Father, that today would be that day. I pray, Father, for Christians that we get bold, we go out and open our mouth and share Christ with this lost and dying world. Father, we complain about what's going on and how our world and our nation is turned upside down. Well, let's turn it right side up by leading more people to Jesus Christ. So we turn the invitation over to you, Father. We thank you for what you're going to do and will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.